beams and rays of sun and shadow, scattered, spreading from above and behind my falling, floated form, illuminating the murky sea, all around, universe filled with glory. Tart sharpness of a slow, perfectly round and dark, bittersweet, straight from a bush by the lake, it acts like a drug. The hedge roars with fiery life. What was hidden becomes visible. Lace-like patterns, worn out from the surface of the stone by wind and water over countless unthinkable ages of the sea, are only the foaming froth of a single breaking wave breath. I attempt to memorize a lot of my poems, and I can do this one from memory, but I hold the book up anyway to remind me. I'm from the northeast of England originally, although I live in Coventry now, and so the landscape I grew up in is there, and not dissimilar in many ways to Cypress Island in some respects. Old king man who sleeps up on the hill, stood, rode his horse over the field like a shade that comes with the tide of night. Peewits leapt into the low light, weeping, crying, falling all around him in voice cycles of fear and mournfulness. O stone king, thorn man, you watch us living in the comings and goings of our life circles, always arriving, departing, fast as rainbow over sea storm swing, always a wing, buzz of insects and sun, summer voices raised in delight and sadness. Golden dolerite is your bed, the kiss of stones your nest, looking north, south, east, west, we met first in the north. I bowed to you before I set forth, to seek to sing the songs of life, carved as rings on grey stone up the nap of the purple hill. You remained and waited still, watched as if frozen, like the long stone finger figure darkly pointing at the sky. The miles rolled by, Chatham, Wangilore, Moor and Curlew cry, my company family, not just cells. Ancestral winds at my back can tell the larger circle into which my smaller circle seems to have fallen. Voice raised and swollen with song, eye bright with rain, ray, light, descent, strong nuclear love. All that I am, I offer, I give, I lay before the sacred land, hand, root, rock pattern, where seas force rush and the stones that are flattened, make circles in the water and myriad forms of life celebration thrive. Caught into the braided song, alive with fins, arms, waving threads and eyes that follow the sun. All of this shared circle, all of it in the song, the wide-eyed song that the earth in my body has finally released. And the song ended. The wind changed. Geese flew overhead. It began to rain good and grey on the ground. We returned to the hill. The ghost could not be found. Bones in an urn long gone to soil and dreaming sleep. Anne, hip deep in barley, follows the tram lines toward the golden church bell horizon of Kelso Hill. Heart, love, hand, through the skill of the stone man dreaming, holds us in the evening air. No passing shadow bird in hall there, but the glowing embers of a living home hearth that knows no stranger anywhere on the earth, and dreams that the voices of the living beating heart round wheel wildly into light, colour, sound, grey, shade, something never still. Ancestral presence in the land is something very important to me, and more about that in a little bit with a Coventry poem. I've chosen to do, I don't do very many love poems, this is a sort of a love poem, and also traditionally I always do a musical introduction to this poem. It's just a sort of routine that I've developed, so I suppose I've got to play against. once I saw you on a bus. I was 16, oh my soul. Your mouth, a circle of astonishment, haunted my dreams. On the wind, sky, back way, where the dream door bit me and my father fell, I sought the refuge of quiet. But you rose like a new moon into the sky in daylight, tearing through the library of clouds, screaming, beyond words, beyond words. You were a sword of darkness in my mind, your eyes filled with love and anticipation of what might be. No one knows how we fought, but you changed into a flock of beloved birds, lapwing, redshank, sanderling, dunlin, and I could no longer resist you. I glimpsed you once in the darkening woods, snowflakes in your long hair and the fur around your throat, and I called to you and I ran to you, but it was not to be so simple. To be fulfilled, first you must be haunted. You were a damsel with a dulcimer, flowers in her hair and at her feet, singing the song of my nerves and bones. Holy island wind filled itself with women's voices and the beat of wings. Glissade, glissando of strings. I took the low road, ducked down into the hedge to hide, dreamed of golden sunlight coming in through hospital ward windows. From the swaying shadows I called out to you. You whispered, turn the telescope round, look into the heart. I launched myself into the quarry lake and dived deep to try to forget my sense of loss, my lust for an intense sabbatical. Through a window in my chest I saw the house, the hedge, the wall, the door, the garden path of promises, the boy and girl holding hands like a tarot image, the nightingale and rose, the bloody thorn. The old man in his study, books in dusty glass about him. I try to bang on the glass to warn him. I throw myself against the wall. I wave my hands and shout, turn the microscope round! Look out into the sky! There was a damsel with a dulcimer, flowers in her hair and at her feet, singing the song of my nerves and bones. Sense of promise in the morning. Youthful adventures in the cosmos, looking into the well, walking the hills, finding stones and the creatures that spend their lives beneath them, or looking up into outer space. Entire worlds, earths, stories, folded, unfolded, implicate, explicate, washed up upon the empty shore. Vast, multi-limbed, multitasking intelligences whirled and roared, their factory chimneys bleeding curls of smoke into the morning sky. Burst heart, everted, saturated lungs, ruined by the fight, muscles locked in mortal combat, my whole being reduced to a naked sobbing spasm, a naked singularity burning its way through the curtains, pulling life inside out through the fontanelle. Lying face down on cold wet grass, naked, I pant and sigh with relief, smell the earth, realizing in the space of a single moment where I really am. Thank you. And I am no stranger to this part of the world, having about 3 years ago, my wife and I spent a very nice 2 weeks in Dunquin. And we like rocky shorelines, and we like ancient history, we like old stones, carved stone crosses, barrels and rafts and things like that, and that's what bird watching and snow, well, you can't snorkel down there. So we love all that stuff. But what we didn't know was we were going to go to this remote outpost in the southwesterly tip of the whole archipelago and discover that there was this incredible, like, amazing wellspring of literary tradition and religious history. So, in honour of the Dingle Peninsula and my time there, I wrote this poem. I've been hacking it a lot the last couple of days. It's 3 years old, I've been hacking it the last couple of days. This is called The Pilgrim. The wind-foamed sea hurls itself onto the purple blades of the cliff's dark keel, where it's blown into foggy streams of spray, misting our view of the pilgrim singing his song from the cliff-top path. He is no stranger to the way of the rolling waves, grey, green, the gannet's bath, nor to the stones of boundary paths in always changing weather light, the edges of sheer crags, sandy strand, the donkey road, sheep and shepherd trail. Young and alone on a long road, it seems so far since he first lost his way, but this path is easier to follow. A green fringe of the known world, then ocean, where Gwena draws her rainy veil to hide the final island from us all. Chucks call brightly and rough-throated ravens are circling the third sister's crown as he climbs down rocks to a small cove where waves crash into the brown stream mouth, the rock pivot companionably piping at his side. He sees the Atlantic as world's edge, time's story of the daily apocalypse, and he casts his eye upon a tide grey boulder peppered with crystal-filled pits, a solid, sparkling mass of fossilized worm cubes, and he belongs here. He's one more creature of the intertidal zone, clinging to waveform rocks, where thousands of surfaces reflect the light of the life-giver. So he prays to great mystery and offers his life heat back. A ray of heart-aching peace shines right onto him, right into him from beyond the bursts of storm-raced wave caps, dispersing the shadow mind, filled with complaint and struggle, stranger who speaks a foreign tongue. The healing fever of joy and terror in the hedgerow of sleep and rain is no longer a hunger, but a kind of sustenance. And he dances, sings, waves to the boats, and finally settles on a big old stone to cry out the names of the dead. He turns his head towards shifting beams on the flank of the green whaleback ridge, summoned now by the curlew's rising chant whistle to tread windy hillside bogs where the irises hiss and rustle their sibilant edges together. Sun-swollen clouds and sweet winds wild around the fallen walls of the retreat, eyed and guarded by the fierce stone post with its deeply edged crosses, spirals and half-forgotten ancestral names, hatch-cutting lines for the hand to find. It feels as if he himself had lived here 1,000 years ago, but he knows that it doesn't need to be true. Suddenly, an old man in dark, slightly mud-spotted suit and a broad-brimmed hat appears by the wall from among the reeds. He says, "The end of the world is nowhere near yet." Then he walks off down the lane that leads back into the town, carefully closing the gate and leaving the pilgrim to wander, to ponder the meaning of his words. Thank you. This is a summer poem about being in the city. It's called Escape Velocity. His angle of departure cuts city's gravity well with arc of intention. Death posture majors has seen the story self-liberate, the archive burn with words, the music thrash itself with chords, the beat, beat. Walking the borderland against the lines of force, across the morphic field, a contradictory power upon a transgressive path among dim trees, along unseen hedge lines, inward, onward, into the move, against the lines of force, contrarily agnostic, counterclockwise. The crazy synesthesia hits him seductive, where boundary fringe petticoat looms life flow, as seething tiny freedoms burst out from green veins, caress the stem brain, clasp spasm seizure, tagline hazy luminous script read only by machines. The secret city is not a city. Unbounded wall, self-reference, refracted illusion light. The story is not a story, an archaeology, a geology of meaning and pain into which we fell, with which he has fallen in love for ill good. Sigh, distance, haze through leaf, limb, waving, tragic romance of summer's odour and streets, lines of tangled scent will place a kiss upon his brow, pave the secret lair with seal of leaf, fossil, sleep imprint, words shouted by the ecstatic at the corner's end game. Thank you. I'm going to finish with two out of my pamphlet. The first is a Coventry poem. And Woolworths isn't there anymore in Coventry because, of course, Woolworths is now a pound shop. But when they were making building, because you know about the Coventry Blitz, the city centre was destroyed in the war. They rebuilt it as one of the first pedestrian-only shopping precincts in Europe. And it's dead modernist in very late 40s, early 50s. Not a very nice environment. But when they were digging the foundations, they found huge deposits of lake silt, right? Because it used to be a wetland, Coventry City Centre, once a lake. And then in that lake silt, underneath Woolworths, they found two rows of enormous oak posts, some kind of walkway. So, in town, Woolworths. 10 a.m, not too crowded. Pepsi bright colours, cheap pop tunes in plastic packets, smiles in the aisles of the popcorn head tube reality. Beneath your feet, scuffed beige floor tiles, shoe rubbed by happy shoppers. Beneath them, concrete foundations laid in the 50s by poorly paid Irish men who could still remember fighting in the war. Even lower, a few broken bricks, blackened, blooded, haunted by the shocked voices of the maimed, the trapped, the burned, the dying. Prayers, curses, sudden warnings, explosions and falling darkness. Beneath this smoky tide, what you might call mud, not clay, silt, from the reed side lake bed, waters turning, snipe, drumming, dragon wing, beetle bright, reed warbler hiding place for the hunter in his canoe. Wind rush, rustle, settles, three for the price of one, forgotten, eddy, current, wave lap, mud, smell, suddenly unclouded sun, a deep breath, a sudden move, another explosion, a whirl of wings, thousands of them darken the sky. The people have taken oaks from the wild wood, cut free, uprooted, tooled, and awkwardly at first, replanted in the mud, in rows, an avenue upon the water. Track it down from the red sandstone hill with its springs and its scrub, out from the bank, out over wave lap, like a bird watcher's walkway, wedding road for the lord of the land. Circumambulating Coventry's circular market, comparing the prices of tomatoes, potatoes, chilies, way back below Cranorg. Thatched hall, smoke slowly drifting. So I sing my song, unthreatened by the gold around their necks and the creak of dark blooded leather, and they bang the handles of knives upon the table of the king who sits upon the water. And I'm going to finish with a song. In 2007, we had an incredibly wet summer in the United Kingdom, and the motorways got kind of flooded, and sometimes you found yourself sitting in the car for hours at a time while a river ran across the motorway. And so there I was sitting in the car with a bit of rhythmical music playing, and I started singing, spontaneously singing. I had this kind of vision, actually. I was imagining how the ancestral spirits of the land might actually haunt the motorways. And might kind of gather it, like you were in a procession and all the people from the town came to watch the procession and all the ancestral beings were all standing in these sides of the motor watching the cars go past. And so this is where that comes from. Tell you what, I'll lubricate. Oh, you spirits of the motorway, I see you lying the roadside standing there. You watch us as we all rush by on our flights of fancy from the here and now. We rage, we roar, we fly so swiftly by the weightless gazes of our ancestors all unseen. Oh, your spirits of the motorway, you come from Henge Age, singing on the hill. You hid among the oaks of wind-whispered law and toiled in sweaty summer fields. You hunted, fought, and founded dynasties and now you watch us from your timeless home, deep in the dreaming of the land. Oh, your spirits of the motorway, you saw the cities throw wild towers to the wind. Rise up and shout their cares into the sky. The gentle minds of working country folk sent all their lives to toil in the looms and the mills of hell, while searching through the rubbish for their roots, deep in the dreaming of the land. Oh, your spirits of the motorway, you saw us come with iron machines to tear the guts out of the hill and show the sun 100 million years means only money to our idiot lords, while you weep for us who seem so stupid and yet so proud, deep in the dreaming of the land. Oh, your spirits of the motorway, it must be love and pity hold you here, watching us in our sad high-speed parade, and calling to us gently, heed the sun, the moon and stars are counting out your time, leaves of seasons, life on earth, deep in the dreaming of the land. Oh, your spirits are the motorway, I sing to you as I make my road, from story to story of the ancient track, still rutted by your wooden barrow wheels. For I see you have not left us here to die alone, your blessing fountains from the dim unseen, deep in the dreaming of the land. Oh, you spirits of the motorway, you are a memory of sunshine still, on the flickering wings of the roadside hawk, the quiet pool where no one goes, the gulls and crows and lapwings in the field, and I, for one, will thank you for your gifts, deep in the dreaming of the land. Oh, your spirits of the motorway, I honour and acknowledge your presence here. For my part, I can sing the songs of life, the walls of doubt are thrown up all around. So keep us tired travellers safe from harm, and bless us with your wisdom and your strength, deep in the dreaming of the land. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. Thank you very much indeed for inviting us.